Okay. Well, Mem Gimel Amid Aleph in the Schottenstein is 43A2, the second column. Okay, just very briefly to have a review of what's going on over here. The Gemara asked a question like this. We know that when a girl is supported by the father, anything she earns goes to the father. So Gemara asked the question, if she's supported by the brothers, do they get it or not? Okay? So, they said like this, do we say that the brothers are instead of the father, just like the father would get it, they would get it? Or do we say no, that because even the sons are supporting the girl from what belongs to the father, it's not even theirs, because it's what they inherited, right? So he says, no, we learned it. Amanin yisem nichsi yisemim. It says that the Gemara after the question that a widow gets supported from the orphans, and it says clearly, Omaisi Adel Shalahena belongs to them. Okay, that's what he answered. That's what Avsheshus answered. By the way, that's what Avsheshus holds, we'll soon see in the Gemara, Lahalocha, that if the girl is working, is supported by the brothers get it. So the Gemara says, well, there's no comparison there. Because the girl, by an almana, by a widow, he doesn't want to the profit at the expense of the sons. But his daughter, he does want to have profits. Okay? So the Gemara says, is the girl daughter better than the widow? So the Gemara says, it's not because they made like... Okay, so the Gemara says like this. The Gemara answered, there's a difference between degrading and profiting. As far as degrading, the father doesn't want the widow to be degraded. Right, therefore she gets supported. As far as the daughter, the father is interested in having her get money. Okay? So now the Gemara says like this. Rav Yosef asked a question. Okay? You know, let's see this inside. We'll just catch up quickly. 43A2. Oh. Mem Gimel Amid Aleph.
How many lines?
1 second. It's the middle of the page. Mamish in the middle of the page.
By the asterisk.
Masiv Rav Yosef. Masiv Rav Yosef. Okay. Rav Yosef asked a question. Okay? Because Rav Sheshes answered that the girl's earnings belong to the brothers. That was Rav Sheshes' answer to the question. So Rav Yosef says, no, it says in the, from our Mishnah, Maisi Adel Metziyasa, her earnings and whatever the girl finds. Alpha Bishnai Govsa, even if they weren't collected yet. Okay, listen carefully. She finds something or she earned money, but it wasn't collected yet. Alpha Bishnai Govsa, Meso Av, if the father died, Harein Shel Achen, it goes to the brothers. Because the father really inherited it. So the Gemara says, Taima, that's only because Chaye Yoav, she made the money when the father was alive. But if the father died, then she would get the money. What does the Braisa say? Money that the girl earned when the father was alive, but she didn't collect it yet until the father died, so then it goes to the brothers. Why? Because the money she earned belongs to the father, so even though she didn't collect it yet, it's still the father's. Now the father dies, the boy's inherited, right? Okay. Which means, though, that if she got money after the father died, she keeps it. That's what it says there. The money she got before the father died, the brothers get. Which means the money she got after the father died, that she worked for, after the father died,
she keeps.
My love, Bini Sainis. Probably it means that the brothers are supporting her. But, because how else is she going to live? And yet it says that she keeps it. So Rav Yosef says, and Rav Sheshes, how can you say that if the brothers support the girl, the brothers get it, not the girl? Our Mishnah says clearly that money she earned when the father was alive goes to the brothers. Which means money that she worked, earned, and got after the brother, her father died, she keeps. And Mistamit speaking that the brothers are supporting her. And yet she keeps it. So Gemara says, no, b'shein and nizanis. It's speaking in case she wasn't supported by the brothers. Then she keeps it. But if she would be supported by the brothers, Rav Sheshes says, she does keep it. I mean, the brothers keep it, not her.
If the brother support her, means then that's extension of father?
Yeah. That's what Rav Sheshe said. Rav Sheshe said, because the brother is extension of the father, just like the father would get it, they would get it. So Rav Yosef asked a question. Here in the Iron Mishnah it says, the money she made afterwards she keeps. Right? And it probably means even if the brothers support him. So Rav Sheshe says, no, it means if the brothers didn't support her. But if the brothers did support her, then they keep the money. Right? So Gemara says, 1 minute. If the girl's not supported by the brothers, of course she keeps it. I mean, what's it telling me? Why should the brothers get it? Even according to the opinion, there's an opinion in the Gemara that says, a master can tell a slave, I want you to work for me and I'm not supporting you. Speaking about a guy who's your slave. Yeah. Just the middle of the Gemara. So it says that the master can tell the slave, you know what? You gotta work for, I own you. So you're gonna work for me, I'm not gonna pay you. He's able to do that. But that's only ani mili be'evet knani by a goyish slave, the like siv be'imach. But it doesn't say he's gonna live with you. Aval evet ividich siv be'imach, but evet ividi where it says he should work, live with you, lo, you're not allowed to even say that. That means, the master cannot tell a Jewish slave, I'm not supporting you. Right? The kosh came bite, and how much more so a daughter? Right? So of course, the girl's gonna keep the money. Well, what's not? Okay. Amir Rabbi Bar Ullah said like this.
He won't support a Canaanite slave. What does that mean? He won't feed him?
Yeah. He says, go get your own food.
How can he do that? How can he do that?
Go get a side job. I don't know.
He's slave to this guy, slave to you, right? All day long. You're not paying him, right?
Right.
How is this guy supposed to eat?
He tells him, go get a side job and go eat.
Huh?
It's not my headache, it's yours, he tells him. No, there's a whole argument, the Gemara getting, if he could do that or not. Anyway, Amar Abba Varavolinit, no, I'll tell you what the thing is. It's speaking lahadafa. When she makes more money than she needs to live. So the question is, who does that go to? Does it go to the brothers? Or does it go to her? So he says, the Mishnah is dealing with the girl that's not supported by the brothers. Yeah? Is she not supported by the brothers? What is it teaching us? The Chiddush is that what's above and beyond, okay, they keep it.
Who keep it?
Brothers.
That the brothers are not able to keep it, but the father would be.
But the father is dead.
The father would be able to take the leftover money, right? What she means, above what she needs to live, right?
The father was supporting her, or not?
The father has to support her. Like we just said, he can't say to his daughter, I don't want to support you. Okay? Right?
Even if she makes her own money?
If the father, realistically, would not support the girl, who keeps her money?
The girl.
The girl does. Right? So the Gemara said, but what happens to the leftover? Let's say she needs $100 a week to live. The girl. And she makes $150. So the $100, for sure the father doesn't get. Because he's supposed to feed her. If he's not feeding her, her money, that $100 goes to herself, right? But the 50 extra, the father gets.
Why?
Because he's her father. He owns her. He can marry her off. It's speaking about the Ketana. Right?
Speaking about
the Ketana. I know. But it's speaking about the Ketana, right? So therefore, the father has a right to marry her off. He can sell her as a slave. He can do whatever he wants. So the Gemara says, the leftover money, the extra 50, the father would get. So our Mishnah is telling us the brothers don't get it if they don't support her. The Gemara wanted to answer, speaking the brothers don't support her, therefore she keeps it. But if the brothers support her, they get it. Like Rav Sheshe said. So the Gemara says, that's understood. So speaking of, the leftover money is a chiddush, because the father would get the extra 50, but the brothers wouldn't.
Why not?
because the brothers can't sell her as a slave, and they can't do anything. And if they're not supporting her, she's on her own.
So if Mashiach shows up tomorrow,
we'll deal with then.
He's here, right? Amen.
Rava said, "Gavur Rabba Kerav Yosef." I don't understand. He says, "You don't think Rav Yosef, the great man that he was, didn't understand this?" He asked a question of Sheshes. Yeah, the Mishnah says, our Mishnah says, that the girl's money she keeps if she gets it after the father died, right? Don't you think Rav Yosef would know if the Mishnah is speaking by the leftover money and the brothers are not supporting her? And not yet, Rav Yosef asked the question of Sheshes. Don't you think Rav Sheshes would be able to think why the Mishnah maybe is speaking by Hadof and then he wouldn't ask a question? But Rav Yosef is asking a question. Don't you think he knows what he's asking? And he says like this, Elam Rav, Rav Yosef masnis in gufa kashali. Rav Yosef was bothered by the Mishnah itself. And we'll see, and that's why he asked the question. What does it say? The Ketanya says in the Mishnah like this, Maisi Yodel Metziusa, okay? It says in the Mishnah like this, what she works, listen to this, and what she finds in the street, a metzia. Yeah? What does it mean, a metzia, which is not collected yet? The Mishnah said a statement, money that she worked for when the father was alive, or a metzia she found, but she didn't collect it until the father died. Right? She keeps it. Now tell me a case of a metzia that she found and she didn't collect it.
Shatar, document, lottery.
What are you talking about?
No.
The Gemara is learning the
Shabbos.
No, the Gemara is learning something she finds in the street.
It's not her money. It has to be.
Let's mitziyosim iman govin. Because that makes sense by what she worked. She worked for a guy. The guy didn't pay her yet, then the father died. Yeah? But a metzia, if she finds a metzia, she gets it. There's no, not collectible.
It's instant.
No, if the time father you find it, you find it. She doesn't get it. It goes to father.
But the question
is, how could you have a metzia that's not collectible?
How can you find something that you now acquired and you didn't collect it?
Elalav, so we must say, I'll explain this in a second. Elalav, we must say, what the Mishnah means, not Maisa Yodel Umitziusa, her mitzi. It means Maisa Yodel Kimitziasa, that her work is like a mitziya. Ma mitziasa, just like something she finds. Bechaye Yoav, when the father is alive. If she finds something in the street when the father is alive, it belongs Laav, to the father, and la'ach amisasa, but if the father died and then she finds it, la'atma belongs to her, afmaisa yoda, the same thing, b'chaya yo'av, what she could have collected when the father was alive, but she didn't collect yet, la'av belongs to the father. La'ach amisiasa'av, after the father died, right, la'atma belongs to herself, even if the brothers are supporting her. So Rav Yosef, the way Rav is explaining Rav Yosef's question is, Rav Yosef has a clear proof in the Mishnah for a very simple reason. The Mishnah says what she worked in the life of her father and what she found. Now that can't make sense. Because she found it when the father was alive. Doesn't matter if it's collectible or not. Right? So how do you have a metzias that she found a metzia and she didn't collect it? So we must say that's not what the Mishnah means. What the Mishnah means, what she works when the father was alive is like her mitzia. Just like if she finds something during the life of the father gets it, right? The same thing, and the mitzia after the father dies, she keeps. The same thing, what she works after the father dies, she keeps, even if the brothers support her. And the Gemara says, Takashma Mino. And that's the halacha taka. So the Gemara proves, Rav Yosef proves from our Mishnah, that a girl whose father died, and she's supported by the brothers, yeah, what she works or what she finds belongs to her. Even though the brothers, not like Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes said it belongs to the brothers. And Rav Yosef proved in the Mishnah, the Gemara says, Shema Minot, it's a valid proof that it belongs to her.
But the word of Mishnah is Umesiyata, it doesn't say Kim Mesiyata, we are twisting the word.
But it can't mean and the Metziah.
There is no such thing.
There's no such thing, the Gemara says. So therefore, Umetziyasa means that my Siyada is like her Metziah.
So why the Mishnah didn't say Kim Metziyata?
Whatever.
Because Umetziyata is...
Whatever.
What about the document in the IOU, like something as a gift, if she finds, anybody finds, that's the Messiah, no? It's not collectible.
If she what?
Imagine you find like $100 note or something, it's worth $100. That's not collectible, you have to go and collect
it. It's collected already.
Huh?
What do you mean?
If an IOU.
Something.
Yeah, but it's not to her.
The bank and cash it, cashier check. Imagine like cash or no. Something, cash check.
Yeah.
Anybody, but it's not collectible.
You have it to is collectible.
You have to go to bank and... Somewhere is not collected.
A dollar bill is a debt. It's a document. And it's collectible. The Gemara learns Metziah means something she finds in the street, an object. If she finds a document of an IOU, she has to return it to either the guy A or guy B. She can't keep it. It's not hers.
Cash.
Cash is collectible. So what do you mean she didn't collect until after the father dies? If she got it, she got it. She can't wait.
I'm saying like a cashier check, cash. It says
that's cash.
Check says cash.
That's cash.
You have to go to bank.
That's cash.
It's the same as money.
Yes.
Cash. Cash. Anybody can cash it, but it's not collected.
It's collectible. It's collected, right? I love it.
It's like
collectible.
A dollar, yeah.
Yeah.
If it's a money order.
No, I mean. Not only that, you know that if a matonis of yainim and purim.
Yeah.
Yeah. If there's a poor guy and I write him a check, Matan Savyanin, $10. I give him a check, I did the mitzvah right away.
Even though he didn't cash it.
Right. Now that says even more. Even if I don't have money in the bank to cover it then, it's still good. As long as eventually it gets covered. And the Gemara Taka says, Itmanami, so Taka says in another opinion, Amir Av Yud Amir Av, but it says clearly, Bas and Izainis Meno Achim. Okay, a girl that's supported by the brothers. My Siodel Lats, whatever she earns, she keeps. Okay, it's so clearly like Rav Yosef said.
Even Hadofa, even she makes more money.
Yeah. Hadofa only the father gets. In other words, we see from here that the brothers are not exactly the father. Right? According to Rav Yosef, for sure. Rav Sheshes says the father and the brothers are the same. But even that, Hadafa would be a difference. The father would get the Hadafa, and the brothers, even according to Rav Sheshes, wouldn't get. Because the father, it doesn't sound good in today's term, the father controls the daughter. He could sell her, he can marry her off against her will, he could sell her against her will, okay? So any money she makes really goes to the father. But if the father refuses to support her, the money she makes to support herself goes to her. Yeah? Because what else are you going to do? She got to live somehow. But the extra money belongs to the fathers. The brothers don't own her. All they have to do, halachically, is support her from the estate of the father. Right? What happens, Lamashal, in a crazy case? Father died, no money, okay? Left over sons and daughters. Do the sons, halachically, I'm not talking menschlichkeit, you know what, halachically, do the sons have to support their sister?
No.
It's only when there's a state of the father, right? So that Torah says the property of the father, even after he dies, has to feed the daughter. But if he has no money, no estate, the brothers don't have to feed their sister. I mean, they're cruel animals if they don't. But I'm saying they don't. You can't take them to Besdin and make Besdin and make him pay for it.
You know,
the same thing by parents. Yeah, the children, they are not mechuyav to support their parents from their own money. No,
even if it's a machlekes in the Gemara in Kedusha, but the halacha is. No, from the parents' money.
Yeah. kind of right. Punishment. The same thing like Baruch. Baruch.
Yeah, but Bez didn't force it.
Even if she's a katana? Or?
Yeah.
Can you imagine if it happened today?
Oh, unbelievable. So now Gemara says, Amar of Kahana.
It hasn't happened today.
Now the Gemara is going to explain why Taka aren't the brothers able to get her money. They're supporting her from the estate, so let the estate get the money. Why do we baskin that the girl keeps it? So he said like this. It says in the Pasuk, V'snachaltem eisam levnechem acharechem. It speaks about giving over slaves, okay? If a father owned a slave, a goyish slave, and the father died, so the Pasuk says, you give them over to your kids. It's mamish property that's you inherit. But what do you see? Eisam lebneichem. You have to give the slaves over to your children. Valei bneisechem lebneichem. But your daughters don't get passed over to your sons. In other words, only your slaves get passed over to your children. Right? But not your daughters. Meaning, Magid, it teaches us, Shein Adam Meirish Schus Bitei, that a father cannot give over inheritance, the merit of his daughter, to the son.
We don't learn from here. It's very hard to learn from here. From Eved, you learn for the
other? No, because it says, Eisam Levenechem. Only the, because the Torah speaks about slaves, yeah? The Torah could have said, Visnachaltem Levenechem Acherechem. What does Eisam mean? Only they can be given over. What not?
Not
your daughter. That means your sons don't merit the daughter's money that she brings in.
But we cannot learn even for boys, no?
No. Because that's a din yerusha that the Torah says. Someone the boys can, yeah. So the Gemara says like this. Maskele Rabba, how do you know that excludes all cases? Maybe it means bepitu yabas uknosis vachavolis atayra medaber. Maybe the Torah speaker, when she grew, was seduced or violated or bodily injury. Maybe that's when the Torah says you don't give it over to your sons, right? V'chein tana dvei Rav Chanina. Taka Rav Chanina said in the Braisa, what does the Torah say you don't give over to your sons? Not her earnings. When the girl is raped or seduced or bodily damages, then the boys don't get it. Because she's hurt, so she should get the money. But how do you know if she's not hurt, she makes a living, she finds a mitzvah, maybe that does go to the brothers. In other words, the Gemara is learning, why doesn't it go to the brothers? Because the Pasuk says, only slaves you give over to your children, not your daughters. So Gemara says, yeah, but that means maybe only when you hurt the girl physically, she gets hurt, raped, violated, whatever, she keeps the money. But how do I know if the girl's not hurt? Maybe then the money does go to the brothers.
What it has to do when she gets hurt to get that? When she gets hurt, the other person has to pay. Not to agree with this Yerusha. They're two different things, what not
if,
the same thing.
What if you can't find the assailant?
No, 1 minute. It makes sense that if the girl got hurt, who got hurt?
The girl.
The girl. So okay, she keeps the money.
The person that hurt her, they pay.
Yeah, to whom?
To girl.
Okay. So that's what they say the pasuk means. You can give over your slaves to the sons, but not your daughter to the sons. Right? So the Gemara said, what does that mean? That anything she works for, she keeps. So Gemara said, how do you know it's speaking that it's referring to what she works for? Maybe what she works for, Take, goes to the brothers. What does the Torah say she keeps? If she was violated, hurt, beat up, then she keeps the money. Why should the brothers get it?
Oh, okay.
She got beat up, so she keeps the money.
And not the brothers.
But maybe Maisi Adeha, what she worked, maybe it should go to the brothers. Uh-huh. So the Gemara answers, Amir Rab Chanina, no. It's speaking, okay, next Thomas. Shapatzev, Shapatzev Befanam. It says he wounded her in the face. Okay, now, what?
What? Who wounded her?
It's speaking that they beat her up. Okay?
That was the case, huh?
No, that means like this. If the father was alive, the father would get it.
What? If they beat her?
If they beat her up. Because he could sell her.
Okay.
Right? That's what Rashi explains. The father can sell her or marry off to whoever he wants. So he has the right, even if she gets beat up. Okay? Now, the Gemara, that the son doesn't receive the girl's earning, meaning none of the rights of the father go to the brothers when it comes to the girl. That's what he's answering. If she beat it, the father gets it, but not the sons.
What is befana? How means?
In her face.
What do you mean?
That's noticeable. Meaning like this. If she gets beat up in the face, or like the Rishonim write, any other part of her body where she can't work, yeah? Can the father sell her? No. Nobody's gonna buy a beat up girl as a slave. Mm. Right? Sometimes they want to marry off to the son and marry off to himself. So therefore, because the father loses the right to sell her, if she was beat up, that because of that, he's not gonna be able to sell her, she'll get the money. The father will get the money. But the brothers can't sell her. So therefore the brothers are gonna get, she'll keep the money. And therefore any money she makes, because, in other words, what he's answering is like this. Because the brothers can't sell her, they get nothing. The only reason the father gets the money, because he has a right to sell her. So therefore he has a right to her money.
The fana means to the face, right?
Yeah. But it means, like the Mephoshim explained, it doesn't only mean that any place where the father guy couldn't sell her. So then the father would get it.
Why do you have to say this, Rabbi?
The Gemara is trying to figure out the reason. Where do we see the source? That, because logically, if the brothers are instead of the father, why don't they get whatever the father gets? That's what Rav Sheshes holds. Right? Before the Gemara refuted him from the Mishnah. Rav Sheshes held, listen, the brothers are instead of the father, whatever the father gets, she gets. I mean, they get. She doesn't. Whatever the father would have gotten from her, they get. So Rav Yeh says, it's not true. The father has rights to the girl that the brothers don't have. The father can sell her. The father can marry her off. Right? So therefore, anytime there's an injury, who should get the money? The father should get the money because he lost now that he's not able to sell her. Correct?
So that means it's like a permanent injury.
Yeah, but the brother, why should they get it? They can't sell her. They can't marry her off. Biblically, why should they get, in other words, the Gemara's argument basically over here was, are the brothers mamish in the place of the father, as far as the sister goes, or not? Rav Sheshes says they're mamish in the place of the father, so therefore whatever the father gets, they would get. And Rav Yosef and everybody else says, no, they're not exactly in the place of the father, and therefore maybe the father would have gotten it, but the brothers don't get it, and she gets it.
You said the halacha is not like that. They are not like the father, right?
The halacha goes, it goes to her. Right. Okay, now the Gemara is just going to say another opinion that says the same thing. Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Rav Masna, Amar Rav. Now the Gemara says in the name of Rav. Not only in Rav Yosef's name, but in the name of Rav. That what? Or some people say it was Rav Zeira, Amar Rav Masna, Amar Rav. Bas Anizainis Minoachim. Again, the same thing. The daughter is supported from the brothers. Maisi Adela Atzma. She keeps it. Not the brothers. Dechsev is Nachalta Meisim Lebnechem Acharechem. That you can give over the slaves as possession to your sons. Aisim Lebnechem, only the sons. I mean, only your slaves you can give over to your sons. V'lei b'nei seichel nebneichem, you can't give over your daughters to your sons. Magid shein adam meirish chus b'tei lebnei. That a father does not give over his rights of his daughter to his sons. Okay? Amalei avimi bar papi, shakid amra. You said this in the name of Rav, right? The Rav said this then. He said, no, Shokit says it. Who Shokit? Shmuel. So Gemara says, Shokit Manu. Who Shokit? Gemara says Shmuel, because he's very diligent in monetary issues. You know, when there's an argument, Rav and Shmuel, in the Gemara, so the law is like this. In monetary issues, the halach is like Shmuel. Because he was very, very diligent. That was his expertise. Monetary things. In Isser, Heter, Mutter, Asser, Tomei, that's the halachalik Rav. That's the rule in Shas. So, the question says, Harava Amra, why are you telling me? Shmuel said it, Rav said it. Right? So he answered, no, Av Shokin Amra. Shmuel also agreed. In other words, Rav, Shmuel, Rav Yosef, who was the other guy in the, Rav Yudah Merav. Rav Yudah Merav. So everybody agrees that the girl gets it, not the boy, not the brothers. Yeah. But now the Gemara says like this. Amr Marbar Amemer le Ravashi. Marbar Amemer says in to Ravashi like this. Hache Amr Nardoi. This is what the guys from Nardoi said. Hilchse Karvasi Rav Sheshes. That the halacha is like Rav Sheshes, that the brothers get it. Rav Ashi Omar, no, Hilchas Kavasi the Rav. The halacha is like Rav. Yeah? That she keeps it. And the Gemara Paskins, Hilchas Kavasi the Rav. The halacha is like Rav. Bottom line is, even those things that the father gets, but the girl, even if she's supported from the brothers, she gets it all. The brothers get nothing.
Who is higher, Rav or
Shemuel?
Same.
Because
he doesn't
say halachas Rav Shemuel. Right, because Rav was the one that clearly said it in two places. First, Rav Yudah Merav. Before it says Rav Yudah Merav, and now it's Rav Zira Merav Masna Merav, or Rav Zera Merav Masna, whatever. But there's because a few people said in the name of Rav that we have clearly that he said the din. Somebody said Shmuel also said the same din. Okay, next.
So can we learn, like, between the lines that brothers cannot control the younger sister if the father die?
Let them try.
Like, it looks like that, right?
Yeah. They can guide her, but they can't control her. Yeah. What do you mean control her?
The father was able to do it.
The father can marry you off. The father can sell her. No.
Not the brothers.
The brothers and the mother can marry her off, but then she could refuse.
But they cannot, like, father force, oh, marry to this, marry to that.
No, no.
They cannot do that.
But here they're talking about a girl that's, you know, under 12 and a half.
Under 12 and 12
and
a half.
Yeah, talking about
that. Over 13, yeah. Even the father doesn't get it. But again, they could do marrying her off. But she could do miun.
Yeah.
Because it's only rabbinic. So does it get miun? In fact, it's in tomorrow's Rambam, if you learn three prakam a day. The Rambam talks about the miun, that get miun, there's a get, but it's not an official get. She refuses, the day she's bas mitzvah, she says, I don't want to live with this guy anymore. She said, she's done. If the father marries her off, she couldn't do that. She's stuck for life unless the guy gives her a get. Okay, next is like this. Remember we learned, this is a very simple Gemara. There's Edison and there's Kedushin. Kedushin and Edison, okay? The guy said that, Mekadesh Yosti, 12 months later they used to get married. There's Kedushin, Edison, the Gemara calls it, and Nisuin, wedding. Okay? Now, when does a woman get the Ksuba? From the Kedushin? Or from the wedding?
Wedding.
This is what the Mishnah is going to be discussing now, basically. We'll see the dinim of the Mishnah. Hama'aris is bitei. Okay, again, this is a girl under bar bas mitzvah. Under bas mitzvah, no bar. Under bas mitzvah. The gersha, and the guy divorced her before they got married. They did kedushin, okay, and 12 months later they're supposed to get married. 6 months later he gave her a get. She needs a get, otherwise she can't marry anybody else. Then, ersa, the father gave Eder kedushin again. Venis Alma, and she became a widow. Which, by the way, doesn't mean anything. The Gemara is going to say, either divorced or widow, doesn't matter. Now, who gets the ksuba? So the din is ksuba shalai. The ksuba of both marriages go to the father.
What is the
chiddush?
This is what we learned from before.
Isiyah, what happens is she got married, Begersha, and the husband divorced her. Hesia, and then he gave her to Nisuin a second time. Okay? Vinis Almela, and she became a widow. Ksuba Shalah, she gets it. She ksubas hers. Both marriages belong to her.
This is still, she's underage?
Yeah. Because okay, so she gets both ksubas. The Gemara is going to explain this whole thing. Let's first see what Rabbi Yehuda says. Rabbi Yehuda, no, the first one goes to the father because that was from the Edison. No, I'm sorry. Even the first one of the wedding. The mother's going to explain what it means. The first one from the wedding, the father gets, and she gets the second one. Said no. Once the father marries her off, he has no jurisdiction in her money.
Rabbi Yehuda is talking about the first or second one.
Rabbi
Yehuda.
No, twice.
It's talking about the kiddushin or erusin.
The first case of the Mishnah was two Edisons. He gave her Edison, the guy divorced her. He gave her another Edison, divorced her. The father keeps both.
Edison's what again?
The Kedushin. Okay? Now, the second case of the Mishnah is, the father married her off, then the husband divorced her. Yeah? Then the father married her off again because she's still a minor. Second husband divorced her. So the chamim hold, she gets both ksubas. Why? Because the chachamim hold, once the father marries her off, not kedushin, Edison, once he marries her off, he has no more monetary right to her. He can marry her off a second time. Okay, that's the case. He married her off twice, right? So Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the first ksuba, the father gets.
Because she goes back to the home, though, right?
No, it doesn't matter. We'll see. Rabbi Yehuda is going to explain why in the Gemara.
Like kiddushin.
No.
No?
Both times were nisuin. Oh. Father married her off, got divorced. Married off again, got divorced.
She gets it.
So the chachamim hold, she gets both ksubas.
Yes. Yeah.
But Rabbi Yehuda says, no. The second ksuba she gets. The first ksuba the father gets. So they said to him, Avnuleidach, in the Mishnah, the Chum said to him, what are you talking about? Once the father marries her off, even the first time, he's out of the picture.
Yeah.
Financially. So why should the father get it? She should get both. Okay?
Even though she's being supported by the father.
Right. Now, what does this mean? The Gemara is going to explain it. Rashi brings it up already here a little bit. When did they write to Ksuba, though?
When they go then?
When do you write to Ksuba?
Usually we do it after Kiddushin.
No.
At the Nisuin.
Before Nisuin?
Yeah, before Nisuin. After Kiddushin.
Well, today we do everything. No.
Even until.
When do you write to Ksuba? By the Kabbalah's Panim. Right? And then by the Chuppah they do Kedushin. Okay, but that is a whole different world. The point over here is like this. The Ksuba, you write before the Chuppah. Before the marriage. Okay? Now, listen to this. This is what Rabbi Yehuda holds. When they wrote the Ksuba, was she married yet?
Not yet.
So therefore, whose Rishus is she in now? The father's. 10 minutes later, she's married, but when they wrote the Ksuba, she's under the father's jurisdiction. So Rabbi Yehuda holds, the first wedding, Ksuba, was written she was still under the father. Chachamim hold, no, you don't go by the writing. You go when the ksuba is collectible. When is the ksuba collectible? If the husband dies or divorces her. Right? But that's after the wedding. Right? What?
This is like what we said, I owe you money. You said this is like cash. The same thing, ketubah is not the cash, no?
No.
They're not married yet.
It's not?
It's not binding until you get married.
When is the ksuba collectible?
When something happens, so.
Before the marriage or after the marriage?
After marriage.
After the marriage. Well, we'll soon see in the Gemara about that. Yeah? Because in the first case of the Mishnah, there was only Arison. And should the Gemara says, who gets the ksuba? To the father. Because that opinion holds that even from Edison there's already a ksuba.
It's still before she got married.
Right. But the ksuba goes to the father because financially she's under the father, not under herself yet.
Okay.
Right? But the second case of the Mishnah is speaking when he married her off, divorced, married her off again, divorced, or widowed, whatever. So who gets the ksubas? So the chamim hold, she gets it. Rav Yehuda says, no, the first ksuba, she was still under the father. So when the obligation of the ksuba began, she wasn't married yet. Right? So whose rishus is she under? The father's. The Chachamim hold, no, you don't look at when it's written. When is the ksuba collectible? After he died. Or divorced her. When did he die or divorce her? After they got married. As soon as they got married, the father's out of the picture. And it's the girl's.
If that's the case, so what is the difference between Kiddushin or Nishin? Doesn't matter when it's written. As long as it's not collectible. It's
but
Rav
Yehuda holds, you go by when it's written. Rav Yehuda holds, you go by when it's written.
Why it goes to her? Chachamim says...
No!
Chachamim says, in the second case, it goes to her, right?
Both cases.
Yeah, both cases.
Right. So why? Because the father, once he married her off, he's out of the picture.
The first time.
Even the first time. So when the ksuba was collected, the father wasn't out, it was the father financially was out of the picture.
Huh? I don't get it. So if it's, we have like Kiddushin and we have a Nisuin, right?
Right.
If we write a Ketubah at the time of Kiddushin and something happened, right? So in the first case, so it goes to the father.
Right. Right?
If it's Nisuin, they write a Ketubah and something happened, it goes to her.
Right.
Why is it different?
Because the second she got married, the first case, she never got married.
Oh, it's only Kiddushin.
Only Kiddushin twice.
Oh, okay.
Right? No marriage.
Oh, because it didn't go out.
So she never left the father. So now there's two ksubas to collect. Who gets it?
The father.
But here, he married her off right away.
I see.
Now the question is, but the ksuba was written before they got married. So do you go by when it was written or when it's collected? You can't collect the ksuba before you get married because after you're married, only if you divorce her or die, does the woman get the ksuba. So if Yehuda says no, because it was written before, you go by when it was written. And when it was written, it was under the rishus of the father. Okay, now the Gemara says like this. Taima, the Gemara explains an expression of the Mishnah. Taima, the reason is because there's sea of a Gershay, sea of an Asarmala. Okay? Because he married her off. What's the second case of the Mishnah? He married her off, he divorced her. He married her off and she became a widow. Right? And that was, the Gemara is a very interesting word that the Gemara is playing with over here. Let me ask you a question. The same din. He married her off, the guy divorced her, married her off and divorced her. Be the same din? The Mishnah says, the first guy divorced her, the second guy died. But really it's the same din. If both cases would be divorce, or both cases would be widows,
it looks like the same.
Be the same din, right? You collect the ksuba, if you divorce or die. Right? So Gemara says, the fact that the Mishnah says that the first case was divorce, and the second case was widow, teaches us a side din. That if the guy was widowed twice, died, yeah?
No, divorce.
The Mishnah says the first case was divorce and then he died. Yeah. What would be if first guy died and the second guy died? Would it be any different then?
It should be the same.
It is the same.
It is the same.
So why does the Mishnah use divorced and widowed versus not both widowed?
Inheritance maybe?
No, it's an interesting thing. She would not be able to remarry. Okay? Because the Ag of Orcha, and it teaches us, Kasasim Lotanika Rebbe, I'll explain this thing in a second. Dhamma Rebbe says, Betrei Zimna Have Chazaka. Meaning like this. The Gemara says, and why it's not done today? It's not done today, Lapel. The Gemara says like this. You know, chazaka normally is three times.
Yeah.
Okay. Rebbe holds a chazaka is twice. Mm. Now, there's a din. If a guy married a woman.
And he died.
And the woman married another guy. And he died. Or then she went and married a third guy. And he died. That means a woman killed three husbands, basically.
She's
yeah?
Killer.
She's called a killing woman, and she's not allowed to remarry. Rebbe says, even twice.
Wow.
Because three times a chazaka, right? But Rebbe says, even twice is a chazaka.
It's cautious.
So, no, it's not only about this. So Rebbe holds, interestingly, if the woman married, and that has nothing to do with the din of our Mishnah, who does it go to? Stam, the Mishnah, in passing, is teaching us another din. That in order that the woman should not be called a killing woman after two times, the Mishnah made one case widow and one case divorce. Something sidebar, you know, something that Agav is teaching us, because, in other words like this, the din of Ksuba is the same if both divorced, both widowed, or widow, divorce, widow. It's all the same din. Why does the Mishnah pick divorced and then widowed? Why didn't it say widowed and widowed? You know, get is not such a good thing. So, you know, the Mishnah should send both widows. Because it teaches us that then she would be called a killing woman. And the Mishnah didn't want to get into that.
Is it that's why Yehuda was concerned? It was his two sons died. He didn't want to give Tamar to the third son?
Yep.
But the question frame is how quickly the husbands die, or
the whole Gemara Yevamis. It depends. He says if it was
they married one husband and then they got dead, and then it was 60 years later the second husband died.
She married 100-year-old guy.
Okay, if it happened twice, the
Nicole Smith.
She could have married a third time. Okay. But even in Shulchan Aruch it says, what happens if they died of old age? If it's a natural cause, then you can't say she killed them.
Right.
So that's why today it doesn't happen exactly.
Unless you have the 20-year-old marrying the 99-year-old. And
yeah.
You don't hear about them.
Then they're marrying for the money.
That's it.
Is it chazaka, like something happened like 2-3 times, mm-hmm. makes the Rav concerned about this mm-hmm. or not?
Yeah.
Like a woman married and divorced, married, divorced, 1-3 times, then if you are invite you to marry them 4 times, you could be concerned to do it or not?
Yeah. I believe the halacha is like the chacham, not the rabbi. There's 3 times in this case that it's chazaka.
Only when the husband dies is it a forbidden wedding, and not divorce.
It's not. I don't know if it's for Bill Moshe. If she did get married, she's married. I mean, it's not. The Chum said, you know, you have a chazak of killing your husbands. You know, you don't let it. But if she did, but see, she went to a place nobody knew anything, and she got kedushin. She's married. I mean, it's a complete aishas ish. Why not? I mean. Okay. He says like this. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, in the Mishnah, says like this, at the end of the Mishnah, that the first ksuba, married and married, right? Rabbi Yehuda says the first ksuba goes to the father. Chum and Hol, both ksubas go to her, because as soon as he marries her off, he's out. Rabbi Yehuda says the first ksuba goes to the father. So Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, my time is Rabbi Yehuda. What's the reason of Rabbi Yehuda? Why does he say the first ksuba? Because the Chum said to him, 1 minute, from marriage, she's out. She's out of the father. So, both of them say like this. Because when does the father get the right to it? From the Kedushin. Because he holds, as the Gemara is going to explain, okay, ksuba, obligation, takes effect at Edison.
What?
Rav Yehuda holds that the obligation of ksuba begins from the edison, not from the marriage. No, from the kedushin.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's not engagement, kedushin.
Closest word to it.
Right, today is closest word to it. Yeah. Because he holds like this: the obligation of the ksuba, even though it's collectible later. This is what you were saying before. Even though it's collectible later, but once the obligation begin?
When they're right.
From the kedushin. So meaning like this, when the husband dies or divorces her, from when on was the obligation to pay, retroactively, not from the wedding, but from the kedushin. Correct? Right? So whose money was it then? The father's. The second ksuba, the girl is married to the first guy, so as soon as she's married to the first guy, the father's out, as far as the second guy goes. But the obligation of ksuba, according to the Yehuda, begins from the kedushin. Right? So, that means, after the marriage, when she gets divorced to die, the husband dies, from when is she collecting the ksuba? Not from the wedding, from the kedushin. Whose rishus was she under then?
Father.
The father.
So what about the second time?
So if they get divorced or he dies before they actually get married, they still have to pay the ketubah, according to Rabbi Yehuda.
Yeah.
What goes to father?
Yeah, but I mean, he's obligated to pay.
Well, that's what Rashi says. The kasavi esh ksuba la'arusa, there's a ksuba even for arusa, when she's a ktana. Obviously, if she's a gdoila, for sure she keeps it. Right? It's only when she's a ketana.
Rabbi, when Rabbi Yehuda says, Harishona shel av, and the second one to her, we're talking about the 2 different cases that she got married. She got a kiddushin.
No, she married one guy.
Okay, then was
divorced or died, and then the second guy married and divorced or died.
The first time goes to the father.
Yeah, according to Rabbi Yehuda.
First ketubah.
Yeah,
right.
Goes to the father.
Yeah.
But the second one doesn't go to
because the once the girl married the first guy, see, he also, the ketubah was from before the marriage of the first guy. But once he married off to the first guy, even if there's no second guy, once she gets married, the father's out.
So what, I understand. So why we have to say the ketubah was written by Tom Kiddushin? Even by Nisuin, it was written, as soon as the father writes the ketubah, the ketubah, it goes from father to the husband. Why we bring in the issue of Kiddushin? I understand that. But
no, because if there's no obligation of ksuba from the kedushin, the father for sure wouldn't get it. If the obligation of ksuba begins from the nesuyin,
okay,
the second the nesuyin happens, the father's out.
Yeah.
So why should the father get anything?
There's no kiddush.
No, the father doesn't get it. He doesn't deserve it. It's not, the girl's not under him.
After the wedding.
But if the, you know, if the ksuba begins from the kedushin, and it was written before the wedding, so whose rishus was she in then?
Father.
The father, so the father gets it.
Oh, so that, but the second time?
She's already married to the first guy, so she's, the, he's out.
I see. So Rabbi Huda doesn't disagree with the second, only with the...
Right. Right.
Okay, I understand.
Or he says like this, most of Rav and Rav asked a question. It says in the Brisa like this: Rav Yehuda Emer. Well, Rav Yehuda says, "Harishena Shalav." The first ksuba goes to the father, but the maid that Rav Yehuda agrees. But Ma'aris is Bita Shiktana. When he did kedushin with his daughter when she was a girl, Ubagra, then she became a gdeila. She became 12 and a half. Achakachnisus, and then she got married. Shein Lavir Shuzba. That the father doesn't get the ksuba. But he says, why? You're telling me that the ksuba begins from the kedushin. But the kedushin, she wasn't an adult yet. Right? So why does the Mishnah say if she became a gedola, the father doesn't get it? According to Rav Yehuda, she should get it because the ksuba was written before she became. So it says like this. It says, not from the Edison he gets it. What it says is, it was written when she was in the father's rishus. Okay? Meaning, it's written right before the ksuba, right? It's written, the ksuba is written right before the marriage. Then she's under the, not because it comes from the ksuba, from the Edison. You write it right before the wedding, when they wrote it, she's still under the father. And therefore she gets it. That's what the Gemara says. Okay.